After all is said and done, and one day it will be said and done. I was thinking of dinner this morning. I couldn't help it. Every pastor appreciation down through the years, I think of dinner, and I kidded with her in every single service. But I looked for her in every single service. At her memorial service, I quoted a scripture in my part from Psalm 116 that said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And immediately I saw faces looking, roll eyes. And so I went ahead and said, somebody in this audience has said, "I know Ditter, and she was no saint." And I made the statement from the Word of, and I'm not talking about something terribly wrong with her. I'm talking about she had her struggles just like we have our struggles in life and with our flesh. But she kept on keeping on, and she always came back home to God. She knew where the Father's house was, and I appreciate her for that. Mike used to bug her more than me there for a little while, but she used to get Mike too. And I miss her, amen. Not just to pick on, but I missed her smile on Sunday morning, and I knew that no matter what we preach from the Word of God, that she may struggle with it, but she never, ever opposed that truth. She knew it was true. She embraced that truth, and God kept her many years beyond the time that she was allotted according to the doctors. In fact, he kept her 7 years beyond what the doctors said that she would live, and that's God's wonderful number of perfection, and took her home in her sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. But I made the statement that a saint, biblically defined in the New Covenant, is not like Mother Teresa, who did a lot of works and men decided to canonize her and make her a saint. This is not a man-made thing. This is a God-made thing. And it's not based on our works, no matter how good or grand they may be, but it's based on his finished work at the cross. But every child of God is called a saint in the New Testament. Praise God. Amen. And precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look with me to some scripture for just a few moments here today. We're talking about, and we've been talking about, and until God is done, we'll continue to talk about receiving God's promises. It's so important that we receive what he purposes in our life. I'm going to start with purposes. Maybe we better read, or maybe I better read the scripture first. The book of Romans, chapter 4 and verse 17. Now listen to this. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations," God speaking to Abraham, "before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." This promise that God made him. Against hope, he believed in hope. "And being not weak," verse 19, "in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith." What happens when he was strong in faith? Giving glory to who? To God. Not his faith, but his Father. Amen. Can you say amen? He staggered not at the promise of God. In the Bible, someone who's did the math, a Bible scholar who had the time to do it, 8,000, a little over 8,000 promises in the Old and New Covenant. God really loves to talk plainly to us, to speak in a way that faith comes. Now, some of you in this room pursue things that are wrong with the church and wrong in the world, and you set your gaze upon that, and it excites you, it angers me, it upsets me too. That's why I don't keep looking at it. Because faith doesn't come by being angry and upset over how bad the world is or how misguided parts of the church is. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, and not just anything from the Word of God, but that part of the Word of God that will cause you to believe. Amen. Amen. I heard a preacher preaching this morning. He preached a wonderful sermon. He's a Baptist preacher preaching on the great white throne judgment. And he's talking about the plight of the wicked. And he said, I had a mentor when I was in Bible college. And he told me, he said, never preach on hell when you're upset or angry. And that's a pretty good rule of thumb. Because you can preach it as if you're glad that people that are resisting and rejecting Christ is going there. And that's not how we're to preach on the terrible, terrible destiny of the wicked. It's important that we hear these messages. But the Bible said that God has given us precious promises in the Word of God. Exceeding great and precious promises. That by these two things might occur. That we might, number one, partake of the divine nature. And number two, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. That the two greatest things that can occur in our life, that God has made promises to that end to the believer. Amen. Will cause us to become more like Him in our nature. To partake of the divine nature. To develop in godliness and righteousness, and to escape that we come in contact with every day of our life. We live in a faulty body in a fallen world. And to escape by these, by what? These promises that we have believed and received. It's all based on obtaining promises. None of this can help you if you don't obtain the promise. But be careful what you dwell on. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you listen to. More importantly, be careful who you listen to. There are people who want me to preach on certain things. They are disappointed in me because I will not do it. It's like those people that want to teach you to drive with a car all smashed in, flipped over twice, the trunk sprung because they backed into a telephone pole, front headlight out because they ran into a car in front of them, a bunch of tickets because they violated the laws of driving, but they want to take the wheel and tell you how to drive your car. And I'm going to say, you know, if I'm going to wreck my car, I'm going to do it myself. I don't want nobody else wrecking it. I used to put it this way. If I'm driving a school bus and I'm responsible for all those kids, and somebody says, particularly one of those kids, come up to me and tap me on the shoulder and said, I want to drive. I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you something. You go back there and sit down. You don't belong behind the wheel. Can you say, man? If I'm going to take the responsibility for these kids, I'm driving the bus. And I'm not apologizing for driving the bus. Can you say amen? When I get them safely where they're supposed to be, amen, and I retire, you can drive your own bus. Hallelujah. But I'm driving this one. Praise God. Well, I'm driving the bus today. That's one of my prerogatives, is to be led of the Spirit on Sunday morning. Amen. Not pressured by people. I want you to hear what the Spirit says to the church, not what somebody wants me to preach on. Somebody here needs to get a hold of the promises of God. I'm one of those somebodies. I need to hear the message. If nobody else here gets anything out of it, if you think I ought to be preaching on this or that, I'm going to tell you something. I'm giving you what you need today, not what you may want to hear. Because what you want to hear may be not what God wants you to hear. He wants you to hear something that will bring honor to Him, good to you, and glory to His name. Can you say amen? It's a win-win. Abraham did not stagger. He was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by receiving and obtaining these, we might be a partaker of the divine nature. You don't just get into that without receiving the precious promises. You have to obtain them. In your Bible, there's a book called The Love Chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is all about agape, divine love. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it is commonly called the faith chapter. Everything in it is about faith. And it begins by saying, through faith we understand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to talk about faith. And it said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him out. Can you say, man? Glory to God. And then it goes on to say, for what more shall I say? And they've talked about Samson and Barak and David and all these people. What more shall I say? What more can I add to all of this that I have spoken, that through faith they obtained promises? Say it with me, obtained promises. The whole basis for God dealing with man is revealing His purpose by making a promise that we might reach out in faith to grab it and receive it. He sent Jesus to save. He purposed to save us. And He said, if you receive My Son, I promise to save you. Can you say amen? And when we come to Christ as our Savior, we obtain the promise. You say, Brother Venable, see, I've been listening for years to preachers preach because I don't just hear myself. Fact is, I don't listen to my tape. I don't listen to the radio broadcast. I turn it on to make sure it got on there. But I let God take care of the rest of it. I'm too critical of myself. I always think I could have said it better. I could have said it with more. Let's forget all of that. Let the Holy Ghost do His job. Can you say, man, this is not about how people perceive me. It's whether or not they are touched by the Lord. And if I'm highly eloquent and highly educated and I come over in a particular way selling myself and He doesn't touch the human heart, the whole thing is failed anyway. But if the Holy Ghost takes a hold of it, praise God, amen, He can touch the human heart. He can save the human soul. He can deliver and He can set free. And He can bring faith forth in our life. Through the foolishness of preaching, He has chosen that avenue. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching, amen, to save them that are lost. Make no mistake about it, there's power in the Word of God today. Hallelujah. So when God has a purpose, and oh, how vague we are in clergy world and in the great theological thinkers of our day, how vague we are when we talk about God's purposes. My ways are not, listen, that's true. My ways are not your ways. It's quoted most often. My ways are as far above your ways as the heavens are above the earth. Can you say, man? I don't think like you. I don't operate on your level. And then we jump over to the New Testament. Mainly at funerals you will hear this. As I said last week, I want to review just for a moment. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It has never entered the heart of man what God hath prepared. And everyone immediately thinks of heaven. It has nothing to do with heaven. Thank you for the amens and the strange looks. Read it for yourself. It's not about talking about heaven. He's not even through talking yet. We're talking about something that we can't conceive. We can't understand. We can't perceive. It's never entered in. Exceeding great, precious promises. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It has never entered the heart of man. He can't imagine it. And I, listen, it's not wrong to take that and bend it to heaven just for a funeral and say, you know, when we see our brand new home, when we see the even though we've got a description of it in the book of Revelation, when we lay eyes on it, it's going to blow us away. It is. It is. As people nonchalant here in the presence of the Holy Ghost and Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Word of God and the Holy Anointed. Amen. But when you get to heaven, all that's going to change. Amen. Oh, yeah, you're not going to be so nonchalant. You're not going to be so composed. Can you say, man, you're not going to be so religiously reserved. In fact, I think the people that have held it in all these years are going to be the ones that really let loose when we get to heaven. I'm talking about some of those real conservative saints. Bless God. I don't praise God unless it's God. I'm going to be perfectly honest. If it's not God, I'm not praising Him. Hallelujah. In other words, if God don't hit me over the head, I'm not praising Him. When you get there, it's all going to change. All you people that want earplugs down here, amen, we're the ones going to have to put them in when we get there. All that repression of the praise that you've withheld all those years, it's just going to come pouring out. Praise God. I'm looking for some of those highly conservative Christians to come running down Glory Avenue, shouting His praise and singing His glory. Woo! Say, boy, I wish you'd have done it just one time down on earth before we left there. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has never entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's not when we all get to heaven, that's here and now. God said, I want you to know what I have given you in Christ. I want you to know the result of the cross. I want you to know what my purpose is. Therefore, I have given you exceeding great and precious promises. God is not a man that He should lie. He's not the son of man that He should repent. Hath He not said it? He's on record, praise God. And shall He not do it? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I've heard it for years, and I probably said it because I said what I heard. Now I don't say what I heard. I say what He said. And I found out what He said isn't always what I heard. I want the Word. I had to read it. My wife and I talked about we had no mentor. We had nobody to go to. God, listen, God, when I needed and cried out for somebody, there was nobody there. And I literally went to God again and again and again and again and again and again. But today, I don't lean on a particular man. I don't look to a particular ministry. I look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And today I look to the Bible for the final authority. Regardless of the anointing on the man, amen, let every man become a liar. If the Word of God says something different, let's go with the Word of God. Hallelujah. I want to hear it. I want to heed it. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's never entered the heart of man what God hath provided for them that love Him. But He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is come, He said, I want you to know, Jesus said, I want you to know everything that the Father has is mine. When He comes, He will give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning and leave you in the dark. He will give you a liver shiver and a shout on Sunday morning, but you will live in defeat and despair and discouragement the rest of the week. No, when He comes, He will take of mine. He will show it you. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Hallelujah. This is an underrated, underutilized work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian heart, in the Christian life. When He is come, He will guide you. Howbeit, you have no need that any man teach you. Sounds like a contradiction, because he gave the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, and the teacher as gifts to the church. But here's what he's saying. You no longer are... Listen, the teacher points you to the Word. The Word points you to Jesus. Oh, you're not hearing me. The teacher points you to the Word of God, and the Word of God points you to Jesus Christ. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. You have no need that any man teach you. For we have an unction from the Holy One and knoweth all things. Unction doesn't mean like the hippie girl that got delivered from drugs in a meeting. She came to the microphone and said, I got an unction for my gumption so I can function. It's not a zeal. The actual Greek means a special anointing in a particular area, a special anointing to know truth, to rightfully divide the Word of God. Can you say, man? Because the devil is a master at twisting the Word of God. And says, doesn't the Bible say? No, not in the context that someone is saying it. Amen. Listen to me carefully. This is so important. He that's within you, 1 John says, is greater than he that's in the world. And we think of power versus power. That the power, and it is true. It's true that the power within us is greater than Satan's power. But Satan's power is not in his strength to overcome. It is in his ability to deceive. The armor is for the wiles. The strategy of deceit. Say it with me. The strategy of deceit. If the devil can deceive you into believing that you are no one, you are nothing, and you can expect nothing from God because no one knows what to expect from God because of His sovereignty, you will be defeated with God purposing to bless you and keep you, heal you, help you, and deliver you. But you will experience defeat. My people perish. Singular reason. Singular. For a lack of knowledge. For a lack of knowledge. For a lack of knowledge. I don't want to just feel something when I get to church. Don't get me wrong. I love the presence of God. But I want to know something when I walk out of here. Because feelings come and go. But you can't unknow. You can't unknow what's been revealed to you by the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. There's some things I know. I know, Paul said. I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded because of that knowledge that He's able to keep what I've committed to Him against that day. There is no doubt in me, praise God. I'm not worried about when I die and draw my last breath. I know whom you worship. You know not what, but we know what we worship. Can you say amen? I've written these things unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life and shall not come into condemnation. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! I'll give you pastors after my own heart. Jeremiah 23:15. And they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man his might, the strong man his strength. But he that glory, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Hallelujah. They that do know their God will be what? Victims of the enemy. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, living in doubt and despair and discouragement and defeat. No, they that know their God will be strong, and they will do exploits. Amen? Thank God that your denomination has a creed. Thank God that your church has a catechism. And it's not just Catholics have a catechism. Catechism is something embraced by Protestantism. It's not the catechism of the Catholic Church, but it's the catechism of that body of truth. It's the Apostles' Creed. All of that is good stuff. But it stops short of telling you about Jesus and about God the Father. They that do know their God. I know my religious beliefs. I know my denominational standards. Yes, that's all well and good. But what about your God? I don't go to church to enshrine someone's denominational preference and to applaud it. I go to church to worship the true and the living God. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I don't bow. I don't bow to some preacher who is a personality with a great anointing. My worship is for Jesus. It's for my Father. Give me a teacher that'll point me to the Scripture. Give me a teacher that'll point me to the Word. Because when I get in the Word will point me to Jesus. When you get full of the Holy Ghost will testify of Him. Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they be they that testify of me. Not by keeping your creed, but trusting your Savior. Hallelujah. I love Him today. I love the Word of God. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, bringing glory to God. We're so staggered at His promises, and we've so tried to preach away and teach away His purposes. Because it's not happening today, we have to adapt our belief system to the unfulfilled parts of the Word of God. If I can't stand on last week we talked about standing on the promises. The guy that wrote that song was dying of a heart condition. They gave him maybe a year to live. The doctors did all they do and threw up their hands. He went to God. He went to God. He went and found a promise in the Scripture. He reached out by faith and obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. And he was gloriously healed. And he went on to fulfill his life's vocations and lived into his late 70s. Giving up to die. He sat down and penned the song, Standing on the Promises That Cannot Fail. Can you say amen? Standing. I'm standing. I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. For the promises of God are yea and amen to him that believeth. We read about Abraham and promises. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. And let's read about Sarah. If you're going to have a baby in your old age, Paul said, come on, Sean. Sean's done with you. I thought you were tougher than that. I thought you were a tough guy. Tough guy sitting right there. Tough guy. You give him one more child, he'd cry like a baby. Cry like a little girl. She had a baby when you were 19, had a baby when you were 25. Wow. We had a baby when I was 16. Pamela was 14. We tough as nails. We stupid, but we tough. Can you say amen? God's faithfulness, His promises, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That sounds like the purpose of God is to make you more like Himself and keep you from the evil one and give you victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's all decided by whether or not you obtain the promises. God has purposed it and God has promised it, and it's up to us to obtain the promise. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, they obtained promises. And when they obtained promises, the Bible said the weak were made strong. Hallelujah. He was strong in faith. He wasn't strong in his body anymore at 100 years old, but he was strong in faith, and it didn't matter. He didn't consider his body. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not only had she been through menopause and that was over, amen, now she wasn't ovulating anymore. Now she couldn't have a child before she got 90 years of age. But God! What happened to God? What happened to God? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God! Well, what does He do? How does He react when we call upon Him in faith? He delivereth him out of them all. All. But God. Preached on that one Sunday. I always wonder who's getting it and who isn't. But between Sunday and the next Sunday, George and Patty's daughter was riding on a scooter with a young lady and it wrecked. Took her to the emergency room looking for internal injuries, wondering if she might be hemorrhaging on the inside. Something may be broken inside. And you're out in the waiting room while they're running the test. And I went in and to two frantic in the emotional part of them, but solid in their faith parents. And I walked in and I said, "Well, have you heard anything from the doctors?" And George said, "No, we haven't heard a word from them yet, but God." In other words, they don't have the final word. No matter what they say, no matter what the prognosis is, we've called on the Lord. See, there's something about obtaining promises. Can you say amen? You've got to hitch your faith to something. And the something is a someone. And the someone is God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Woo! Can you imagine promises that make us more like Him and keep us from the world, exceeding great and precious? How does he provide that? By purposing it and promising it so that we can reach out by faith and receive it. But if you don't reach out and obtain, every promise is obtained by faith. By grace you are saved through what? He promised to save you, but how's He going to do that? You have to do something as an act of faith. In His provision, in His promise. By grace you are saved through faith. Without faith, can you see why you can't please Him? You can't even get saved without it. What He's purposed for you can't give you unless you obtain the promise. What He's purposed, He promised. We call it a covenant. A covenant is a solemn promise. Yes. And God is not a man that He should lie. He's not the Son of Man that He ever has to say, "Oh, I was going to do that for you. I'm very sorry. I couldn't come through." Woo! I hope we all get deeply convicted and highly convinced that we need to focus our faith on that will help us obtain those promises. Amen. Because Abraham brought glory to God when he believed it. You think without God helping you through life that you're going to bring glory to God because you're so holy? People are going to say, "Wow, he's so holy. Oh, I just got to come to Jesus. But Mike's so holy, make people of Jesus. No. They're going to say, somebody helped him through that. Somebody helped him through this. Somebody's keeping him through that. I need this and that in my life. Amen? Amen. Woman at the well needed living water. She was looking through men for that no man but Jesus could give. Fulfillment. Sense of worth. Hallelujah. She looked through man after man after man, gave up on marriage itself, and started just living with a man. But Jesus said, I could give you living water if you knew who it was that was speaking to you. He didn't initially talk to her about where her soul was going to spend eternity, did he? He didn't. No. Listen. He said, I know what you're thirsting for. I know what you're looking for. I know what you need. You don't know, but I know. And I know how to meet that need. Can you say amen? And when that need was met, amen, in Jesus Christ, it took care of the heaven issue. When she received him, it took care of the heaven and hell issue. But it didn't start with that issue. It did not start. That's the most important. But that's not how he witnessed unto her. The world is empty. And they need to see some fullness in the church. Amen. They may want something we have. Yes. If we have something, they need. Yes. They don't need our forlorn, beat down, beleaguered, doubting, dismal, discouraging attitude. They need our faith, our hope, our joy, our peace, yes, our love. Be ready. Be instant in season. Out of season. You haven't prepared to go witnessing. And somebody opens that door and opportunity.
Hallelujah.
Be ready to do what? Give a reason for what they're looking for. What attracts them to God and to you because you follow the Lord. Because it's working in your life. Amen. Father, I praise you. Be ready to give an answer to every man for the reason of the hope that is in you. Hallelujah. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Staggered not at the... He said, it's hopeless, but it's not hopeless in God. We're not like others who have no hope. We don't live that way. We don't talk that way. We don't operate that way. Can you say amen? Every time I start talking about promises, standing on them in faith, whether it be a doctor or some other Christian, I get contradicted. Somebody's got the bad report. Every time I say the good thing, somebody, I mean, and it's all over the place. Doubt and unbelief is everywhere. We think when we walk in a church with a steeple and a cross that you can be insulated from doubt and unbelief. It festers in churches, amen, that are not challenged to believe God. Amen. You can be defeated sitting in church every Sunday, giving in church every Sunday. You can go home and live in a prison house of habit and fear, or you can be set free by obtaining the promise of God. Hallelujah. So listen, I want you to grow in faith. I love what Paul said. There was one exemplary church that he said every church ought to pattern after this one. And it wasn't ours. And it wasn't yours. And it wasn't one down the street or in another state. It was Thessalonica. There were three things that marked them as exemplary. They had had the word like everybody else, but they took it to heart like no one else did. Can you say, man? You know what he said? He said, I want you to be an example to every church. Boy, there's not many of them that you can say, you know, I wish we could put a sign out front that says the end of your search for the perfect church. Wouldn't that attract a lot of people? Yeah, just take a good look at us and you're going to see perfection to the ultimate. We have arrived. See, that's what's wrong. There's a lot of people think they have arrived. We've been in church so long, we think we're the paragon of wisdom and the epitome of all that God has promised and purposed. Say it again, Mike. Say it loud. Say it proud.
No, no, no.
No, no, no. We got somewhere to grow because we got somewhere to go. Can you say, man? This Bible to me is promised land. Amen. It's a promise book. It's not a wish book. Not a wish book. I thought we were doing well. We were so poor. But we had a two-seater toilet out back of our trailer when I grew up. And because it was a two-seater, woohoo! In an emergency, even if somebody's in there. Everybody don't have that kind of stuff. But we did. I felt like we're doing well. He says, no. I'd rather go to the bushes. Anyway, moving right along. Some things you don't even do with your family, amen? It's private. But one thing I liked about that outhouse, once you got past the other stuff I didn't like, spiders that lived in there, and it's kind of snakes and smell and, the other things. There was always a catalog. No, it wasn't for what you think. It was for actually reading. Montgomery Ward, catalog. Sears Roebuck, Spiegel. There was a catalog in that house. And I could go in there even if I didn't need to go in there. You weren't allowed to remove the catalog. Y'all know what that's all about. You got to read some. I don't know how it correlates. I don't ask me. Some things God hasn't revealed unto me. Amen. Some things I just rather not know. Amen. Now you got your iPad. You take that sucker in there. But your magazine, something. So I'm reading that book, and it's a wish book. It's a wish book. Everything I saw, because we was poor, I knew. My mama couldn't order that bike for me. My daddy couldn't order that BB gun for me. They couldn't buy me that pair of shoes. We didn't get our shoes from the Sears catalog. We got them from some discount shoe store. Yeah, somewhere else. Broke ass. Murphy's? Don't know. He don't know. He don't know everything about his wife, do you? Murphy's always been high. Scogan's in Brandon, same thing. Don't go to Scogan's if you're on a budget. So that's a wish book, and I would read it, and I didn't even wish for me. I wasn't just that selfish, self-consumed. Much of me was, but I wished for my mama. I wish we had a washer and dryer for my mom. The old washing machine, but the new version of the old washing machine. I wish my daddy had that set of tires. Them old bald Maypop tires on that old 52 Chevrolet. I wish my daddy. I thought, boy, if I could get that bicycle for me and that washer for my mama, next thing I'd get is those tires for my daddy. If my daddy saw those tires on that 52 Chevrolet, boy, he would be a proud man. Look at my tires. We're going to ride now. Hey, old Maypop tires on his Chevrolet. That's not a brand name. They're just so thin, they may pop at any time. You run over a sand spur and boom. That's like my Dunlop belly. My belly, that's not a tire brand. My belly Dunlop over my belt. Can you say that? Quit pointing, Sean. See, Sean is showing out again. He ain't going to get the medal this time. I guarantee you that. It's a wish book, and most people and preachers that came through a Bible school, they go to the Bible and they see the written word of God, and they'll be the first ones to stand up and argue its inerrancy, argue its integrity, its veracity, its validity, that it is inspired by God Himself. Then why in heaven's name don't we preach it like He said it? Are we afraid He will fail? Is it God who is unfaithful? Or is we who are faithless? It's us. And God wants to address it. And God wants to change it. For the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the faith and comfort, through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. When I find a promise, I see what he's purposed. And when I reach out, I immediately hope comes. And faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. And the promise gives me hope for my faith to reach out and take hold of. And hope deferred, what happens to the heart? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the desire, when it cometh, when it cometh, is a tree of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When it cometh, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Amen. And faith is the substance when it cometh, when it happens. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. On our radio broadcast as we close all week long, and all the last couple of weeks, we're talking about, consider Jesus, the power of a focused faith. A focused faith. Be honest in these closing moments of this morning service. What part of the Bible are you focusing on this week? What are you reading? Who are you listening to and what are they saying? And how did it advance your faith? Your faith. Without faith? I remember an evangelist that preached one of the strongest, and I applauded every message, messages against sin that you'll ever hear. But that exceeding great precious promise received, even to him by faith, would cause him to do more than have a preaching anointing and a holy anger against sin. It would have kept sin out of him. It would have kept sin out of him. Whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might partake of the divine nature. That's holiness. Brings you into a sanctified state where you can say no to sin and no to self. In fact, you can't say no to sin until you say no to self, and you can't say no to Satan until you say no to self. And what else did the promise say? Because of that occurring. It says through these promises you can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Satan can't do that effectively in your life. And I thought, you know, the man needed to stop preaching to others for a little while and examine his own life. Amen? If it don't work for you, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care who you are. If it ain't working in your life, I don't want to hear it. I want you to get right with God. I want you to get into something that gets you into the promises of God. Can you say amen? And I want you to tell me something to help me believe God. Because I don't know about you, but I need to partake of his nature. I need to escape the corruption that is in the world. I need to be able to get my prayer answered. I need hope when all natural hope is gone. And against hope, I can still believe in hope. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody challenge me. No pain, no gain. Your flesh will suffer under messages like this. Because it's had its way too long. We've coddled it, petted it, fed it. There comes a time when we crucify it and say, I'm not going to go by what I feel or what I see, but what God says. I'm good at gauging congregations because I looked from this vantage point for 40 years. And when you come in full of faith, it's evident. And when you come in without it, full of worry, anxiety, and fear, it is evident. It doesn't matter what you say during the service from a microphone. Amen. You tell the story. Your life is telling the story. Your attitude is telling the story. Your focus is telling the story. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. More of His mercy. More of His grace. More of His love my soul can trace. Tell me more. Tell me more. More is better, ain't it? Hallelujah. Tell me more about Jesus. I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and Him crucified. There's where the blessing is. There's where the hope is. Wow. Tell me more about Jesus. Sarah, let's get Sarah done so we can go eat. No service tonight because I'm taking so long this morning, and you knew I would. That's why we called it off. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. The story of Sarah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. God didn't do that in spite of her. God did it as a result of her believing what He promised. God's not going to do it in spite of you either. God's not going to do it in spite of you either. God's not going to do it in spite of you either. Can you say amen? I'm glad you don't try to cover up anymore. But I want you to be honest enough to say, Lord, this morning, it's not my brother or my sister. It's me. It's not my family. It's not the nation. It's me that stands in the need of prayer. I need my faith built up. I need to start believing God again. I need to start standing on the promises. I said something controversial. I want to clarify it before we close. Because I am controversial. I don't want you to come to church and just let the devil run roughshod over you and lose your joy and lose your peace and power with God. I want you to be challenged on Sunday morning. Because God loves you and He wants to change you. Hallelujah. He wants to help. Because He can't get the glory until you get the victory. He can't get the glory till I get the victory. Can you say amen? But when I get the victory, He gets the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody get the victory so He can get the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. All stand up and give Him glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time to get your praise on. It's time to come in God's house with a testimony of what He is doing. It's time to get your focus back. Woo! God wants to get a hold of me. God wants to get a hold of you. Shalabakosondada. Salabarota. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We can preach about the politics. We can preach about the Antichrist. But I came here to talk about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can preach about what's wrong with the church, or we can preach about what's right in the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I'm not part of that backsliding church. I'm not part of that corrupted church or that compromising church. I'm part of the church that the Lord is building. My Bible says the gates of hell can't stand against it. I said the gates of hell can't stand against it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. How many want to obtain promises this year? Amen. You got to. This is not a wish book. This is a promise book. When I picked up my Bible, I wasn't wishing for things anymore. I was claiming things. Hallelujah. Because this was written for my learning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Praise God. We will never be disappointed if we reach out to receive what God has promised. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I wouldn't be here today if the Lord hadn't been faithful to me. If He hadn't lifted me up. Sometimes people go with you on these journeys of faith, and sometimes people go back. One of the most heart-rending things in my life is watching people go back. People that I know and people that I love, and actually people that I needed and wished would stand with me. Let's go up at once and possess the land, for we are well able. Hallelujah. 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 We're well able. God, hath He not said it? Will He not do it? I want to hear the Word of God as it was written. If I have to sit down by myself and read it for myself. I don't listen to everybody on television because the camera's on them and a whole bunch of people follow them. I don't listen to everybody's tape that is handed me. Be followers. Come on. Come on, church. Are you willing to obey and put this in your life today? Be ye followers. Oh, but I like this. This is not about that. Be ye follow. I like how he preaches. It's not about how he preaches. It's about what he's preaching. And more importantly, what's happening in his life. Be ye followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Thank you for the patty cake. Now give the Lord an applause for his word. Amen. Don't just preach to me. Show me a life that is marked with God delivering you, God helping you, God answering your prayers, God coming through. Because I need that God. And I need that help. And I need that hope in my life. Can you say amen? I hate to say this, I'm too old, and I'm not that old. Somebody say, you're not that old. Thank you, sister. I'm too old to worry about my reputation in the sense of, do you think I'm great or nothing or whatever? I've come too many miles, 40 years of preaching the gospel. Thank you for the applause, but I didn't preach to get it. I would have preached this without the applause. Thank you for the smile. But if you were frowning, I'd still preach it, and you know it. I preach it because it's true, and I preach it because God said it. And I'd preach it because I need it. Can you say, man, somebody needs to bring us some good news. Somebody needs to preach something that will build our faith that we might obtain the promises, because he has purposed to keep us from this evil world. He's promised to help us through it, to never leave us, never forsake us. He has promised to mark us with the supernatural, that the world might know that he's the true and living God, and we are truly his children. Can you say amen? And it makes a difference knowing and following Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, this is meant to be hard on the flesh. But you know what's going to be harder to go through? If you don't get the flesh out of the way and let God build you up, it's when you get down and the doctors can't do it, the sociologists can't do it, the prayer helpline can't come through. Amen. None of that helps you. And you are helpless. When I hit the floor with a stroke, I was naked. I got out of the shower and ran for orange juice. And I thought, there's no one in the house. Anybody ever take a shower naked? You're not that sanctified, right? You're just not that sanctified. I've been known to take a shower naked. I have a nude bathroom. So I go to get my juice. And I drink my juice and go run back in that shower. I'm going to be rejuvenated by the juice because now my mind was clouded. I mean, you know, I was having a stroke, but I was too strong to realize. It couldn't be happening to me. Not me. Did you see that guy in that mirror, that naked guy with the muscles? I just saw. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Little old man. Anyway, moving right along in my mirror. Who is he? Who is he? And yeah, the. Yeah, it only shows that much. And I get my juice, and y'all are laughing. What a church. I love you too. Amen. Everybody said, boy, I'd like to have been there. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I drank my juice, turned around, and hit the floor. Put a big knot on my head. My arm is gone. I can't lift it. I can't move it. It's cold and dead this side of my body, and I can only mumble words. And I'm laying in my kitchen floor, naked. And I'm laying there with a stroke. And my wife can't hear me. I was helpless. For the first time in my life, I was 100%. I couldn't crawl. I couldn't turn. I couldn't cry out. I was helpless. But I wasn't hopeless. Because I have a God and a Father who said, call upon me in the time of trouble. He didn't mince words either. He said, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And you know what God did? He sent my son. The first thing, he gave me peace. He gave me peace. Helpless, but not hopeless. And he gave me peace. And then the next thing I know, my son is over there. And my son sees me because he heard me hit the floor. He was up at 6 a.m. and heard me hit the floor. Now he stays up till 4 a.m. and sleeps till 12. He gets up at the crack of noon. Amen. It's not like, come on, it's not, come on, it's not like him to be up at 6 a.m. But he was up that morning and he heard me hit the floor. He came and saw me in the floor and he ran and told his mama, well, daddy's in the floor and he can't get up and he's naked. Yeah, she was highly concerned. What's he doing in the floor naked? What's he doing naked? Running through the house. Finally senility sunk in. I was naked, but not ashamed. Can you say, man?
I'm so glad you had.
Yeah, she was so happy to hear it was a stroke instead of my mind. But hope in my life. Honey, I am selective in what I hear. I'm selected in what I listen to. Amen. I want to hear that was written, that I might have patience and comfort. In the scripture, that no matter where or what happens, Sister Dale, I have hope. Dale, I want you to come stand with me as I close. Yes, ma'am. No, it wasn't. We're laughing now, but it wasn't. It wasn't. But the peace was there. Dale, come just stand with me. I don't know. I called you for a reason. Because down inside of Dale, down where the devil couldn't touch or take, seed has been sown. The things that she had heard and read aforetime was down in her spirit. So when the emotions and the mind and the body had to go through that time, amen, and still faces challenges, but deep down on the inside where God plants his seed, his holy seed, amen, that seed survived and that seed thrived. And there was hope. There was hope. No matter what, this woman had hope. because there is one that made a commitment by covenant promise. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Amen. Shola bakasatai. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under his wings thou art come to trust, there shall no evil befall thee all the days of thy life. For the angels shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot upon a stone. And thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that wastes at noonday, nor the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm glad when she came to church, she heard a message that gave her hope. And faith to reach out and reach up to the God that was reaching down. Today, I pray for this congregation that the God of hope fill us with hope. That the God of hope might fill us with hope in believing. And I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I'm going to ask you to check out your focus. What are you looking at? What and who are you listening to? Can you say amen? I got to finish this. We're done for the day is in just 2 minutes. Thessalonica, Paul said, I wish every church was just like them. Number one, your faith groweth exceedingly. And your love for one another abounds like a river coming over its bank and flood tide. And you're bearing up under the pressures and the persecutions. You're weathering the storms that are coming. Amen. And I said, oh God, that's what you want for every church and every group of your people that assemble together. You want their faith to grow exceedingly. Hallelujah. That we might please him, fulfill his purpose, bring glory to his name, and get the help we need in our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help us to be such a church, such a people, such families, such persons. Oh God, I need faith. How many need your faith built up today? You'll admit it. Come on. Then let's focus on those things that will build it this week. When we go to warfare, amen, for our children, for the needs, amen, we need to pray a prayer of faith over them. Can you say amen? Out of weakness, they were made strong because of faith. They waxed valiant in fight. Amen. They put the armies of the aliens to flight. They got to look at the backside of the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Dale, thank you for coming. We love you. Let's have this song of praise as we get ready to go. And Father, we bless the food and the hands that prepared it. We thank you for this day of celebration. Lord, I came in to edit this service to accommodate the celebration. Lord, I'm gonna tell you that we needed this today. Every moment of it. It's essential. It's imperative because we need your victory. And you need, amen, a people that you can be glorified in and through. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise with this wonderful.